having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, you must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an obispo. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to build on the earth.
Hear the same word again. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that the spirit of understanding is at work in this place. Christ is revealed, Christ is magnified, and we are edified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we receive works of your mercies, demonstrations of your love and mercies in miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you because testimonies are multiplied in this service. Yes, testimonies are multiplied in this service. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And somebody shout amen. Shout glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. What a way to begin service. Hallelujah. Are you blessed already? Welcome your neighbors on your left and on your right. And tell them I am triumphant. Amen. And ask them if they are ready to receive. Ask them if they are ready to receive. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 16. 18 to 19 very quickly. It's been a glorious journey. The Triumphant Church, Part 3. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed by this teaching? Glory to God. The Triumphant Church, Part 3. In the Part 3, we'll be talking about the cross is our victory. Amen. It's been a wonderful journey, like I said earlier. It's been an amazing time teaching this series. And I believe strongly that we've been receiving impartations of victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I see there are messages you hear. If you are not victorious, it's no longer God's fault. Hallelujah. Because see, the word of the Lord comes to equip us, comes to strengthen us, comes to empower us. You see, God doesn't speak for just speaking sake. That's the beautiful thing about the ministry of the word. The word of the Lord doesn't come to inform, it comes to transform. And that is the reality. Amen. You know why? The word of God is anointed. Hallelujah. The word of God is anointed. Who got that? The word of God is anointed. So every time you sit under the ministry of the word, you are having interaction with the anointing of God's spirit. The word of God is a vehicle that transmits the power of God. Hallelujah. His power is in his word. Glory to God. So when the word of the Lord comes to us, it comes to empower us. It is the release of God's power that we have. Let me put it that way. So don't play with it. Okay? You embrace it with everything you have. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now we're talking about the triumphant church. And last week, hallelujah. It's good to shout amen. I like a shouting church. By now you know that. Amen. I like a noisy church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you shout like that, you are my friend. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's right. That's right. I like that. Can I have more shouting? Amen. Glory to God. All right. So last week we continued talking about the DNA of the church. The DNA of the church. All right. The DNA of the church. We said that the church with identity crisis can never walk in her purpose on the earth and can never prosecute her course on the earth. Hallelujah. And identity crisis, we said, is not just for individuals, it affects organizations too. Amen. So the church that is not aware of who she is cannot take over, cannot reap the harvest of the nations, and cannot fully represent the interest of the heavenly kingdom on the earth. Hallelujah. So we began to decipher, to dimension the church of Jesus Christ. Okay, who is the church? What is the church? Beautiful talk, right? If you're not around, I encourage you, run to the e-library after this service and download the materials. We dimension the church along five lines, I believed, beginning from Matthew 16, 18 to 19. The Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, he said unto him, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. So that was the first anchor scripture. And from there, we saw three things about the church. Number one, said the church belongs to Jesus. He says, I will build whose church? I will build whose church? My church. So the church belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. We are not alone. We belong to someone. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't own ourselves. We belong to someone. The Bible talking in Acts 20, I believe, he talked about through the mouth of Paul. He talked about the church of Jesus Christ, which he purchased with his own blood. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. We are paid for. Glory to God. And there's a jealousy of our owner upon us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's very important. The second thing we see is that the church is an advancing force. Never forget that. The church is not a monument. The church is locomotive. Glory to God. The church is not the gathering of nice people meeting every Sunday and every Tuesday for midweek service, then going about their normal business Mondays to Saturday. No. The church is an entity on a mission. The church is a force on the mission, an advancing force. And I told you, apply that to your life, because we also talked about the church at three levels: the universal church, the local church, and the individual church. We said the local church is the functional unit of the universal church. This is why every Christian must belong to a small body of believers. Amen. By that small, we're not saying in size, an organized body of believers with a common vision. That's what called the local church. Amen. And that's very important. In case you didn't know before now, in this place, we are advocates of local churches. Hallelujah. Because we believe that every believer should function in the local church. Why? The local church is the functional unit of the universal church. The Bible likened the entire body of Christ to the human body. Hallelujah. And there is no cell in the human body that doesn't belong to a tissue and the system. Are we together? There are no hanging cells. Amen. So there shouldn't be hanging believers. Every cell in the body has location. The cells of your skin belong to the system of the skin. It's just a part of a bigger system. Hallelujah. And that skin is part of the body, which is the body of Christ. So the local churches are the different parts of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So you have Glory Zone Church. You have Living Faith Church. You have Harvesters Church. You have different churches all over the world. Bethel Church. Amen. New Creation Church. Churches all over the world. There are different parts of the body. And you see, just like I said earlier, every part of the body has cells, but sometimes specialized cells. Actually, most times specialized cells. Glory to God. So when you see the human heart, there are cells of the heart, true of us. When you see the brain, the human brain, there are cells of the brain, true of us. The human muscles have, there are cells of the muscles. Glory to God. In fact, the blood has cells. Are we together? The kidneys have cells. Liver has cells. Hallelujah. And look at the interesting thing. Kidney cells cannot function in the heart. Talk to me, somebody. This is why it's not every church that fits you. Glory to God. Very important. Very important. Hallelujah. And see, this is described very perfectly in scripture. And just to go further, you can't have the kidney cells in, well, today I'm tired of being a kidney cell. Let me just wander. On your way wandering, you are dead. Glory to God. Go and study your biology or human anatomy very well. There's nothing like that. The same way, the fastest way for Satan to destroy a Christian is to isolate them. And sometimes that isolation comes through offense. And Jesus says offense must come. Listen to me. There are no perfect churches. Even if a church was perfect, your arrival makes it imperfect. Selah. Because you came with your imperfections. Amen. It's amazing how people criticize churches and pastors without looking at their own imperfections. Glory to God. They are complaining that, oh, they really didn't love me here. And then when you look at them closely, how much love do they show others? Hallelujah. And let me just drop this for you. Every time you see people habitually complaining about local churches, is a demonstration of their internal squabbles they have not handled. How about together? I'm not saying churches don't hurt people. Glory to God. Oh, those things happen. Amen. There's nobody who has not been hurt. Amen. Glory to God. We all doesn't have the opportunity to get hurt. But you decide not to. Hallelujah. Are we together now? You decide not to. So when you see people like that, look at them very closely. There are issues within them they are not dealing with. And you're thinking the problem is outside. No, the problem is inside. In fact, when you see people always complaining about things on the outside consistently, without turning the light inward, there's a problem with them. There's the problem. Glory to God. And I've taught you here before, the more you grow, the more you turn the light inwards. Have it together. The more you grow, the more you turn the light inwards. Is a manifestation, a revelation of your growth. The more you grow, the more you turn the light inwards. You don't just look around. This one doesn't care for me. This is my friend. I thought you were friends. No, those things don't happen. The more you grow, listen, the reason, the purpose of growth is responsibility. Hallelujah. Meaning we don't just grow for growing sake. We grow to take responsibility. Am I talking this morning? We grow to take responsibility. Hallelujah. So that's the functional unit of the church. I just felt I should drop that. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Every Christian should belong to a local church. Hallelujah. Then we have the individual expression of the local church. And that is you. So one would say, the church is an advancing force. We're talking, so you are also an advancing force. God has a vision for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Of course, I know there is the corporate vision, which is what I just talked about shortly. But you see, your effectiveness, even in the local church, is connected to your usefulness and effectiveness individually. Am I talking? Individually. You see, if you're a lazy person, you are useless both to God and also to Satan. You remember I told you that laziness is something that both God and Satan agree. They came to a consensus. We don't need laziness. Hallelujah. Praise God. A directionless person is the same thing. Glory to God. Visionless. No passion, no hunger for a difference. I gave you a phrase that the Spirit of God gave me, and I'm going to preach about it later this day. Grateful but dissatisfied. Grateful but dissatisfied. Grateful but dissatisfied. Meaning you are content. Contentment doesn't mean settling down for status quo. It doesn't mean settling down with mediocrity. No, that is not Bible definition of contentment. Contentment means you are grateful but dissatisfied. You are saying, Lord, there is more. My business can be more. It can employ more people. Am I talking to someone? This NGO can pay more school fees. Glory to God. My life can be more productive. And a Christian needs that posture. Because I've said this here before. That the kingdom of God operates under with what we call ethical capitalism. That means fruitfulness is required. Are we together? Progress is compulsory. Productivity is not optional. Glory to God forevermore. Christianity is not synonymous with mediocrity. Am I talking? Glory to God. That you're a Christian doesn't mean you should be local and localized. No. No, think globally. Think success. Think greatness. Think productivity. Because your crown is an instrument of worship. Hallelujah. So the church is an advancing force. The third way dimension of the church, we said, number three is what? The church is a governmental entity, not a religious one. Glory to God. I said a lot about that last week. The fourth thing we said is that the church is God's son of adoption. Glory to God. You should go and listen to that message. I believe it was second service, first or second service. The church is God's son of adoption. That means you are the ones with the right to rule or to manage our father's estate. Hallelujah. Which is the earth. Am I talking to someone? Listen. Abraham and his seed were given the COO of the earth. That means everyone is a tenant. If you are not the seed of Abraham, you're a tenant. Bible says if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Heirs according to the promise. So we own this world. It is the truth. We are the landlords of the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So nobody should intimidate you by what you have now or what you don't have yet. Legally speaking, all things are yours. Hallelujah. You can go and listen to the message of last week. Truly, we are God's son of adoption. So I explained the concept of adoption from biblical standpoint, right? Hallelujah. And then we went further to talk about the apostolic DNA of the church. The apostolic DNA of the church. You said apostolic from the word apostle, which is from the Greek word apostolos, which means to be sent with ambassadorial authority. Hallelujah. So we ambassadors. Hallelujah. And we say that the word apostle is akin or is similar to the ancient term knight. Those who call knight in medieval era. I mean, if you have watched medieval movies, in ancient kingdoms, you have people that are called knight. Hallelujah. They are called knight. Hallelujah. And we use that to explain the apostolic calling, nature, design, and DNA of the church. We said the church of Jesus Christ is the custodian of the mysteries of the kingdom on the earth. Hallelujah. The Bible calls the church in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. It says, the church is the ground and the pillar of truth. We deal with truth. The world deals only with facts. We deal with truth. Hallelujah. And this is why we don't go to the world for wisdom. We are the custodian of the heavenly wisdom. Hallelujah. We understand secrets and mysteries. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That means you should not be in the dark concerning issues of life. Hallelujah. We are the ground and pillar of truth. That means we are God's accredited dispensers of relevant knowledge. Do you understand? Have you noticed when you read history of inventions and human civilization? Listen, you will notice that the credo, or what you call the foundation of what we have as modern science, was laid by believers. Go and study it. It was laid by believers. Either believers or children of believers, children of preachers, some of them were. When you read the major inventions from the 17th, 18th, 19th century to the 20th century, glory to God, what we have today is just a build up. A build upon the foundation laid by eternal life. Did you get that? Yes. Hallelujah. Why the church is the ground and pillar of truth. The ground and pillar of truth. Concerning everything, marriage, love, fashion, leadership, name it. We are the ground and pillar of truth. The world doesn't tell us how to dress, because the world is not called to the church. The world is peripheral to the church. Hallelujah. Do you know who a Christian is? He's a carrier of eternal life, a carrier of the Holy Spirit, a representation of the monarch of the universe. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? We are God's extension on the earth. There should be a confidence with which you represent him. Hallelujah. So you no longer judge yourself by what you have in your bank account, what you have in your hand. Those things are yours. As you begin to discover who you are, they'll gravitate towards you. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is who the church is. Why am I going to the pen to explain all these things? Identity crisis. A church that doesn't know who she is can never walk in the fullness of God's program for her. Hallelujah. There has to be an awakening of who we are in this generation. Hallelujah. Because we are God's, we are the hope of the world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. What did he say? He said, if a salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing. Where shall it be salted? He said, it's thrown on the floor and thrown on the feet. Hallelujah. He says, we are the light of the world. A city, not a village. A city that is set upon the hill. This is God's perception of you. A city that is set on the hill. This is God's view of us. A city that is set on the hill. A city on the hill, meaning a city that has an advantage. Glory to God. That means we are not disadvantaged. The church is not disadvantaged. He says a city upon the hill cannot be hid. He said men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel. No, under a bowl. No, but I put it on a candlestick that I may give light to everyone. This is God talking about us. That means in the same way, we are not to live in obscurity. No, we are to shine a light to the nations. He said, therefore, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. Who is in you is not a secret to be kept. Christ in you is not a secret to be kept. He said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. This is who we are. Hallelujah. And we're also joining further. Are you blessed already?
Yes, sir.
By the recap, glory to God. Hallelujah. Is that we are envoys of the kingdom. We are envoys, meaning we are sent with authority. We are sent with authority. An envoy is truly an ambassador, sent with authority. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. John 20:21, I believe. Even so sent I you. Even so means with the same authority and power. Hallelujah. We are the sent one. Glory to God. We are sent to the nations of the earth. Somebody say, but pastor, my calling is to be a lecturer at University of Jos. And God has shown me a vision to be a VC of the university one day. How do I reach the world from there? That's very simple. Glory to God. Number one, that's part of the world you are to reach. Number two, as a part of a local church with a global vision, your participation is also reaching the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. In fact, there are many ways to think about that. We are envoys. And I love the last part. I said we are repellers of invading evil. Hallelujah. That is what knights do. That is what knights do. So in that institution, in that office, in that space, in that business, in that industry, are you listening to me? In that mountain, we are the repellers of evil. And I said this warfare is number one at ideological level. How many of you remember that? I said we repel the forces of darkness, number one, at ideological level. At the level of ideology. Because see, Satan propagates his agenda through Luciferian dogmas and demonic ideologies. Very important. I hope to get into that a little bit on Sunday. The last part is supposed to be on spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He propagates his will, his agenda, his intention by projecting ideologies. Believers, for a long time, did not understand this. So we reduce warfare to just casting out devils from a person. We reduce warfare to just declaring every evil force opposing my progress, fall and die. Amen. It's more than that. It's more than that. Listen to this. That is, at best, that is an individual interest of the church. A church that is territorial must think about what I'm talking about. Are you hearing me? Yes. You see, a church can display authority and influence at individual level. Everything is stopping your business. Remove it, Jesus said. So you prosper in the business. To what end? To what end? Do you understand? That is wonderful, but to what end? But you see, the apostolic church is territorial. That means we're in this hall, we're thinking about those in Anguarogo. We're in this hall, we're thinking about the universities. We're in this hall, we're thinking about the educational system. We're in this hall, but thinking about the political system. We're thinking 2023 is around the corner. How can we influence the outcome? We're in this hall, we're thinking about science and technology. Are you here? That is the territorial church. We're in this hall, we're thinking about what's happening. Why are young people giving to drugs and pornography? Are we here? That is the territorial church. Now, at that level of territorial influence, when the church awakens to a territorial responsibility, there's a reasoning. You must begin to think of repelling demonic evil, demonic forces at ideological level. Because to influence a territory, you go ideological. You go ideological. Very important. Satan understands this. God understands this. What do you think the gospel is? The gospel is a mind control tool. The gospel is a night. See, it must, after you are saved, the gospel must shape your ideology. Are we together? You must let the Spirit of God, through the revealed truth in Scripture, influence the way you think. Shift your paradigm. Because it is through that ideological shift that God can manifest to you. Am I talking? In the same way Satan understands this, that it is through ideological tool that it can manifest and manipulate territories. Are you blessed this morning? So suddenly he puts this everywhere. There's nothing wrong with insulting your father if he's wrong. I mean, I say this generation, this woke generation. It's amazing how they steal words from us. They say woke. They say Illuminati. Amen. Those are terms in the kingdom. To be illuminated. And to be woke means to be awakened. Amen. They are scriptural. Those things have been twisted. This is how these people are trying to steal the rainbow. Amen. Can you imagine that? We'll not let it happen. Amen. So if you put a rainbow in anything and somebody's asking you, are you LGBT community? Nonsense. Satan doesn't create anything. He perverts what God has created. I need to understand that. But see, this is a sad thing. Money and assistance comes to those with agenda. So if the church does not have agenda, those who have agenda will have the money to propagate their cause. You must live with the mindset of an agenda. Did you get that? You must live like someone who has an agenda. You must live thinking as a man, a woman who has an agenda. Who has an agenda? Glory to God. Because we have an agenda. I told you before, in this world, only two things are happening. The advancement of God's kingdom and the antagonism of the same by Satan. That means all your activities every day is contributing to one of these two. There is no demilitarized zone. No middle ground. So that thing you do, can I shock you? What you do with your money, is it that building Zion or Babylon? Simple. What you do with your money, there's no middle zone. Is it that building? Is it an investment in the flesh or an investment in the spirit? Including your clothes. When you begin to see your dress as a soul winning tool, Kai, you bought that clothes as a uniform for soul winning. You see, everything about you is kingdom. Do you understand? This is soul winning uniform. Are you here? You must tie kingdom to every single thing you do. This is the path of greatness. Oh, this is the path of greatness. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, that's what he's talking about. And watch what follows. He says, all these things shall be added. He didn't say you shall pursue them. They shall be added. They shall be added. They shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. At ideological level, at economic level, amen. We are repellers of the enemy forces. Repellers. And also spiritually, we are repellers. That means you notice there's an altar, demonic altar around your neighborhood. You curse it until it catches fire. Literally. Until it's dead and packed. There cannot be two territories, two kings in a territory. Glory to God. You fight it. They bring an evil man to head your organization. And there's so much multiplication of evil. Are you going to keep quiet? No. You're a knight. You're an apostle. Don't you understand? Oh, and when we speak, angels carry it to work. When we point to someone and say, you are sacked, they are truly sacked. Oh, glory to God. This is the authority of the church. This is the power that the church has. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Are you blessed already? Amen, amen, amen. All right, 1 John chapter 5, 4 to 5. We'll begin the second part of our talk from there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The cross is our victory. Hallelujah. The cross is our victory. Amen, amen. Lego Savri Matoskaya. First John, are you ready for this? The cross is our victory. The cross is our victory. The cross is our victory. We are triumphant because of the cross. Hallelujah. All right. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is where the second part of teaching is taken from. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. But somebody said, Pastor, you should have titled it, the cross is our victory. No, I know exactly. You see, that faith there is not in isolation. The faith there has an anchor. Glory to God. And that anchor is the cross. That anchor is the finished works of Christ. That anchor is what Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. Are you here? That is the anchor of that faith. You know, I've explained it. Was it doing total immersion? And it's something I've done again and again. That there is a difference in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 down. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. He says, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Many things to say from there, but what I'm picking is that verse 17. He said, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. He's not talking about this level of faith, then a higher level, then a higher level. No, he's comparing two things, just like he did in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when he talks about from glory to glory, glory to God. In that place also, he's not saying just different levels of glory. That works in a context. But the particular context of 2 Corinthians, talking about the glory of the Old Testament and the glory of the New. He compared Moses and Christ. Amen. He compared the law with the glory of the new covenant. So when he says from glory to glory, he's talking about moving from the glory of the law to the glory of grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in the same way, faith to faith, there is comparing the faith of the Old Testament and the faith of the New Testament. The faith of the Old Testament was the faith that looked forward to what God promised. The faith of the New Testament, Leko Baris Kabaya, Mentopa, is a faith that is established upon what God has done. Did you get that? Upon what God has done. He has done it. This is why we call it the finished works of Christ. Hallelujah. So he says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Even our faith. And the next verse explains this further. Verse 5. He says, who is he that believes? He said, who is he that overcomes the world? Remember, he says, faith. Faith is a conquering power that brings the world on his knees before us, right? In absolute surrender. So he says, who is he that overcomes the world? That means he's trying to describe the faith that he's talking about. He said, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So this is no faith in human ability. Mm-mm. This is no faith in your pedigree. Mm. This is no faith in your certificate. Mm-mm. This is no faith in your background. No, this is no faith in the stability of the government in the nation where you live. No, this is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ as who? As the Son of God. What does Son of God mean? That God gave birth to him is more than that. Son of God means God the human flesh. Son of God talks about the incarnation, personification. He says, he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Meaning he that believes, lo ge brums ge shtibo radis ke paya, that believes in the incarnation, that God was manifest in the flesh. Yes, he that believes that God was manifest in the flesh to do what? To die for our sins. To do what? To be raised for our justification. That's what he's talking about, that the faith has an anchor. Hallelujah. It is the cross. It is the cross. It is the cross. What do we mean by the cross? The cross represents all that Jesus accomplished in his vicarious death, burial, and resurrection. Write it down. Because we're going to talk a lot about this. That's what the cross is. Oh God Almighty. Are you ready for this? The cross is beyond just the three crossing itself that Jesus was hung on. When we talk about the cross, and when the Bible talks about the preaching of the cross, it represents all that Jesus accomplished or did in his vicarious, meaning substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection. Simply put, it represents the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. You can see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Put it up for me. Let's read a scripture. As many scriptures as we can read. He says, of which salvation That's soteria. The prophet have inquired and searched diligently. He's talking about the prophets of old now. Remember in Revelation, he says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means the central theme of all of the prophets of the Old Testament was the Christus. That's what he's saying. That means Christ was the central theme. Prophecy in the Old Testament wasn't just telling people what they did not know. No, it wasn't just moving in word of knowledge. I see in the morning you ate rice and beans with pomo on top. No, and then calling people's phone number. That is not the central theme of prophecy. The central theme of prophecy is the revelation, the testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, you said the scripture thinking that in them you have eternal life. He said, for they are they which testify of me. That means the scriptures pointed to one thing, Jesus. I told you before that, listen, truly for us, theology is Christology. Because the one that has been revealed to us as the perfect expression of the Father is Jesus. What did the Bible say? It said, no man has seen God except he, the Son, who was in the bosom of the Father. Hallelujah. And he came as the express image of the Father. That means when you study Christ, you are studying the Father. Are you here? The scriptures testify of him. In fact, the most mind-blowing for me was in Luke chapter 24. When Jesus was on his way, when the two disciples, which was believed to be Cleopas and his wife, on their way to Emmaus, moving from Jerusalem, hallelujah, about the day's journey or so, and they were burdened, they were disturbed, they were worried, they were tired. They were disciples, of course. They said, this Jesus whom we thought was going to bring salvation to Israel. Look at it, and I'm going to show you. Let me not go ahead of myself. Kalabukaya. Are you ready for this? They said, this Jesus that we thought was going to bring deliverance for the Jews. We thought the Messiah who had come has been killed. They were discouraged. And some women have come until they can't find his body, that he's risen. And then Jesus joined himself to them. And then he began to talk to them. You dull of heart, slow to understand. Is it not written in your law that the Christ should come and die and all that? Now here's where I'm going. He says, in Christ, beginning at Moses and the prophet, expounded to them the things concerning himself, how that he should die and be raised from the dead after 3 days as the Messiah, and through that bringing eternal redemption to man, bringing salvation to the Jews and the nations of the earth. He began from where? Moses and the prophet. He expounded to them the things concerning himself. I told myself, wait a little bit. What is the fastest thing to do? Is it not to just show himself? Look at the nails in my hand. Oh, look at my face. I am Jesus. Can't you see the nails in my feet? Can't you see the nails in my hand? See the scars here? I am Jesus. I am he. Believe I have been raised from the dead. No! He went back to the scriptures. That is to show you that the authority of scriptures supersedes human experiences. That you saw Jesus in a vision. You have to cross-check it with the Bible. Because himself, after he raised from the dead, went to the Bible to expound to the people about himself, from Moses to the prophet. Meaning Moses means the law. From the law and the prophet, he expounded to them the things concerning himself. That means the primary place you get the revelation of Jesus is not in your experience. If there are young people who like talking about their revelation of Jesus. Every day Jesus is appearing to you. Every day. I can't remember what it was. One young man kept his. He said, keep quiet. It's not Jesus you are seeing. It's not Jesus they are seeing. They've gone into some metaphysical stuff. Jesus know they appear like that. Amen. The first place and the most authentic place to know him is through the scripture. He began at Moses, at the law and the prophet, and expanded himself to them. Expanded to them the things concerning himself, and he was standing there with them before he opened their eyes at the breaking of the bread. to see him. He pointed them to the scripture. He pointed them to the scripture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you blessed already? All right, so the prophet looked into this thing. They prophesied about him back there, searching diligently, and prophesied of the grace that should come unto us. Amazing. Amazing. And guess what? That grace is a person. And he came. The Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ. Now, you have to read that carefully not to miss it. Searching what? That's the first thing. The substance. And then what manner of time? So there were certain two things. The substance and the season. So that you see. And what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That's the cross. So the cross is not just the sufferings of Christ. It covers the glory that should follow. Did you get that? Did you get that? So remember, I told you that the cross signifies or represents everything that Jesus did, accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. Let's get into it now. Now, when you begin to study God's redemptive plan and his strategy for man's eternal redemption, something will get your attention. When I began to study it years ago, and I still study it, something gets my attention, and it's what I've called the wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. Listen, in human reasoning, when you think about a savior, when you think about a redeemer, you should think of a physical giant at least, or an intellectual giant. Are you listening to me? Someone with military might, with so much physical force, that can finally deliver his people. Or better still, for the spiritual, you think of someone with strong magic, who can just do like this, and the spell breaks and says, we are free. Amen. But guess what? This was none of God's strategies. None. None. Are you ready for this journey? It didn't show up in God's red eye. As far as his strategy was concerned. When he was coming with the Savior, they gave it to him as a child. In an unknown town called Bethlehem. It was said that Bethlehem was a linear settlement with just a few buildings on either side. Bethlehem. Born in a manger. In fact, when the kings found out by prophecy that the king of the Jews, one Herod now, the king of Judea, found out by prophecy that the king of the Jews was born, he began to kill everybody. You know what the angels came and did? Kai, understanding the ways of God will save you stress. You know what the angel came and did? He said, Joseph, escape with the child to Egypt. I mean, you are saying, God, your son was born and Herod was after his life, and you are telling them, I mean, hiya. Is Superman style, or who is your favorite superhero? When the angel descended in Herod's palace, just shut his mouth, his ears, just one threat is enough. Glory to God. But God does not operate like that. That means there are times victory comes by deliverance. Other times it comes by dominion. That means not the time that the victory will come by you are now dead. They started shooting you and the bullets were not entering. No. There are times the victory will come by the Spirit of God leading you somewhere else. You are not passing to the place where they are shooting. Are you blessed? He says, move. Move to Egypt. No, imagine if you were that angel of the Lord. Or imagine if you were the Lord. Your son is in danger. Shagabas. They will see display of power today. Power as of old. Glory to God. But look at the wisdom of God. You know, and is also an expression, a display of his balance between love and justice. You know what happened? The angel came again when Jesus was a lad in Egypt and says, return back, for all that seek the child's life are dead. That means God gave them time for their cup to be full. What did he say? He said, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So I can't bring them in. I can't bring your seed in. But when their iniquity is full, I'll have the legal right to drive them out. God is a God of justice. He waited for their cup to be full. Then everybody who sought the child's life were dead. And then he told Jesus to return. Well, I'm talking about the wisdom of the cross. Then when it was time to choose his apostles, those he walked with, those he will leave the vision with, he selected a bunch of uneducated folks who have nothing to do even with religion or military. Amen. Normal guys. The wisdom of the cross. And then to make it worse, he now died. Savior died. The wisdom. Are you hearing me? The wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. How could salvation come to death? How could glory come to shame? How could life come to death? The wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. You see, think about our priestly practices. No, just think about our priestly practices. When we kneel to pray, when we raise our hands to worship, is somebody here? When we break bread, when we bow in prayer, in worship, are you here? Or we are dancing in praise. How weak, or we prostrate on the ground and we're saying, Lord, you are worthy. How weak that looks. But through that, we unseat kings. Through that, we turn situations around. Are you here? Through that, Kelebe Latosa, we do the impossible. How can you explain it? The wisdom of the cross. But that I can bend down and lift my hands and speak in tongues for 5 hours, and suddenly something happens in an office. As I'm kneeling down, I look weak. How could a man who was threatened to be killed go somewhere and bows and spread the paper before the Lord, and victory comes? The wisdom of the cross. You were told 3 nations came against you, and all you did was to arrange singers in front and with your people behind, singing, the Lord is good and his mercy is forever. The Lord is good and his mercy is forever. And while you were singing, Latesco Bredikepa, suddenly there was a movement in the camp of your enemies. One nation turned to the other, slew them. Then the other turned against until they slew themselves. The wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. I mean, if 3 nations came against you, you will look for allies. But there is the wisdom of the cross. Is somebody here? Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. The other day, Joshua wanted to sing the wall of Jericho. He wanted it to come down. And by the wisdom of God, he says, go around these 7 days. On the 7th day, go around these 7 times and give a shout. I thought if you want to bring down a wall, first you organize army, military men to stand and intimidate the people. Then number 2, you bring bulldozers. Bulldozers to hit the wall high. In fact, you calculate the tensile strength. Who are the engineers here? Structural engineers. And the reinforcement strength of the building. Then you measure the force of impact. Are you here? For the walls to come down. But by the wisdom of the cross, He's okay, go around it. Remember, he met the angel of the Lord who gave him the strategy for victory. That strategy for victory does not make human sense, but it makes supernatural sense. Am I talking to you, believers? As you sojourn on the earth, you need to be conscious of the wisdom of God. You have to operate by the wisdom of heaven. Wisdom that is not affordable to the mortals. Wisdom that sounds foolish sometimes to men on earth. But in that wisdom is supernatural results. It's supernatural results. This is why we don't fear. How can you explain it? On the seventh day, they went around this seven times and gave a shout, and the wall sank. The wall did not fall. No, the wall of Jericho sank. How can you explain it? If some say that that wall is wide enough to ride four to five chariots side by side on the wall, that means the falling of such wall creates another wall. But it sank. The wisdom of the cross. Are you there, 1 Corinthians 1? Quickly, verse 18. Then we'll jump to 21. Are you blessed this morning? He says, go to 18 first. We are different. This is what I advocate. We don't operate by the wisdom of this world. No, look at God's wisdom. A Messiah died, and through death, life came. What a paradox. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So, cross, somebody died for my sins. Why will he die? Why does he have to die? How does his death bring me salvation? How can his death bring me life? He says, the preaching of the cross. You say he was raised from the dead. How do dead people come back to life after 3 days? The preaching of the cross. The Bible says he was offered for our offenses. He was raised for our dikaiosis, for our justification. Raised for our justification. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They can't make sense out of it. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Listen, write this down. The revelation of the cross is the release of God's power. Write it down. The revelation of the cross is the release of God's power. He said, to us who are saved, it is the power of God. You can see that the cross is our victory. You can see that now. He said, to them that are perishing, it is foolishness. But to all that are saved, this cross is the power of God. 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 Is the power. That is where the power is. Let me go ahead of myself a little bit. We'll go to read it properly. When Isaiah was talking about the report, and he painted the picture of Jesus's substitutionary death, of his death, his vicarious death, he started the first verse by saying, who has believed our report? And to whom, legaros kappa, is the power. If you read in the Amplified, put the Amplified. Let me just show you something. We'll go back there and read the whole thing. He said, who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, clung to our message of that which was revealed to us? And to whom has the arm, no, Amplified Classic, has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? The other Amplified, there are two Amplifieds. Kayabakosa, mentopa. We'll get the Amplifier. I'll read it from my. He says, that Amplifier talks about, he says to the same person, the power of God is revealed. This thing we are talking about, we are teaching, that's what the power is. You will sit down and get fully persuaded about this message of the cross. There's no other way. There's no other way. He said, to them that are perishing, it is foolishness. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. Go to verse 21 now. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Are you blessed already? One of my favorites. He said, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Kai. Hi. Hi. What is he saying? You see, if God approached man in his wisdom, they can't be lit with it. They can't be lit with it. That's what he's saying. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. He pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching of what? Of the cross, he may save them that believe. That means humans, in their natural human wisdom, cannot get this thing. Do you have TPT for me? They can't get this thing. Let me read it for you. Let me read that verse for you. It's just exciting. Thank you, Lord. Are you blessed? Speak in tongues where you are. Speak in tongues where you are. Leproskeposhata. Lika prudesushta pora dilekapaya. M sobretilekosefta pora bakaya. Kai. Meko pretisa prudika pososhata. Eli brendosushta pora bakataya. Thank you, Lord. I'll just read this and we'll close for service. Thank you, Lord. We'll just close for service. That's verse what? 21, right? He said, for in his wisdom, God designed that all the world's wisdom will be insufficient to lead people to the discovery of himself. He took great delight in baffling the wisdom of the world by using the simplicity of preaching the story of the cross in order to save those who believe it. That means the source of this power is simple. It is a cross. The key to where is not complex. It's a cross. That's what he's saying. God, this vision you gave me. I finished from Boro primary school. Boro secondary school. We don't know anything from that place. And you are giving me a global vision. My village is not on the map. How shall these things be? Seeing I know not a man. The power is in the cross. That means now, we'll read it in second service. He said, we are the circumcision. That worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and we have no confidence in the flesh. We rejoice in the anointed one and his anointing. We rejoice in the finished works of Christ. Second service, I'll read a translation to you. That rejoice, that the Greek word means to boast. He says, we have the circumcision that worship God in spirit. We boast in Christ and what he has done for us, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Can you boast in the power of this cross? So when you think about finance now, when you think about a mountain in your family, even in your body, where's your boast? Can you charge in the revelation of what he has done? This is where our victory is in this cross of Jesus Christ. It's not anywhere else. It's in this cross of Jesus Christ. This is where our victory is. This is where our victory is. This is where our victory is. The wisdom of the cross. Okay, let me just read. Let me read the scripture so that we close. We'll have the higher point and we close. Philippians. Philippians 3:3. Lika pato soko petola. Inga pato kepa. Book in James, then I read. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
Let me read it for you now. He said, for we have already experienced heart circumcision, and we worship God in the power and freedom of the Holy Spirit, not in laws and religious duties. We are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done, and not in what we can accomplish in our own strength. Rise to your feet. You have some shouting. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands toward heaven and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. What an expression. What an expression. What an expression. You say we boast in what Jesus has done. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Lift your hands toward heaven. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Did you hear anything in this first service? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Christ is my life. Christ is my strength. Christ is my ability. Christ is my sufficiency. Hey! I boast in Him. I have no confidence in what I can accomplish in my own strength. Can you pray like someone who heard something that blessed him? Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a shout of praise very fast.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.